Coming up on December 6th, Bishop Andrew Cousins, as you know, will be installed as the Bishop of Crookston. The Diocese of Crookston has been in the news over the past few years. It has struggled with high-profile clergy sexual abuse cases. Bishop Cousins is uniquely prepared to help the diocese heal thanks to experience he gained working here in the Archdiocese, both administratively, but more importantly, pastorally. Joining us on Practicing Catholic Today is Gina Bartle, a clergy sexual abuse survivor who has been very open about how Bishop Cousins has accompanied her on her journey. Thanks for being with us to share your story of hope with us, Gina.
Thanks, Patrick. Thank you for having me.
So grateful that you joined us. We are privileged and honored as we kick off a new liturgical year here at Practicing Catholic that you are our very first guest. So thank you for that. Well, let's start, as it is a new time, a new beginning. Let's start at the beginning, more than 7 years ago. Can you share a little bit about how you connected with Bishop Cousins in the first place?
Sure, yes. So back in 2013, I had at that time been away from the Catholic Church for 6 years because of my abuse, and just was not able to, it wasn't because I didn't want to practice my faith. I just, my anxiety was so high, things were so difficult that even just stepping foot into a Catholic church would cause me a tremendous amount of panic. But I had an experience in the spring of 2013 where I slowly started coming back to trying to practice my faith. And then little by little, part of that process was I started listening to Relevant Radio in small little snippets. And on December 9th of 2013, Bishop Cousins was being ordained a bishop, and I knew his name, but I didn't know him personally. And I was in my car, and I caught the tail end of his ordination mass. To this day, I'm not sure what he said, but whatever he said at the end of mass, it was very clear in my heart. I said to myself, if anybody can help me come back to the church and be able to live my faith more fully, it's him.
Wow.
And so I took a brave step, and I had sent him just a very simple email saying that I was a victim of clergy abuse and was wondering if he would meet with me just once. And prior to that, my experience with the diocese with my abuse was not very positive. And so I was even more hesitant, but I just had this strong conviction, like, this person can help me. Mm-hmm. And he responded that day and said, wow, yes, absolutely. He would be happy to meet with me. And because of scheduling, we weren't able to schedule anything until January of 2014. That's the first time we met. And I fully anticipated it would be a one-time meeting. And now here we are almost 8 years later, where we have continued to meet monthly, and he's walked with me ever since that meeting.
Yeah, that's amazing. What a wonderful testimony with a lot of different just praiseworthy facets to it. Well, and knowing that you have encountered firsthand this ministry of Bishop Cousins, as well as opening yourself up to him, which is no small feat either, and deserves some recognition that way. I imagine that over these nearly 8 years, your relationship with Bishop Cousins has changed and grown. So, any moments that have particularly stood out for you?
Yes, yeah. Thank you for asking that. You know, in the beginning, I was very fragile, both emotionally and spiritually, and so trust was a big issue, and so
sure,
that took time to develop. And there's a few instances that were I think will stay with me for the rest of my life. One is in 2014, I was really struggling with getting back to going to confession. It was something that was still scary for me, really caused me a lot of anxiety. And in truth, it's something that still causes me anxiety, but then was almost paralyzing. And so I wanted to get to confession, and I made that known to him, and that I was frustrated because I wanted to just be able to go to confession like everybody else. And he extended the offer to meet me on a Sunday afternoon so that I could go to confession. And when we were meeting, I was very frustrated, and he asked me why I was frustrated, and I said, because I just want to go to confession like everybody else, like a normal Catholic, and I'm wasting your time on a Sunday afternoon to sit here and be with me in the midst of all this fear and anxiety and tears, and instead of just me going to my parish when they offer confession. And and he said, oh, you don't understand. And I said, well, what do you mean? And he said, I was praying for you this morning, and God showed me the image of the Good Shepherd. And as a bishop, you know, the story of the Good Shepherd, right, is Jesus talks about leaving the 99 to go in search of that one. Right. And he said, as a bishop, I typically have to be with the 99. I don't get to go chasing down after one person, because that's the nature of being a bishop. But this morning, as I was praying for you, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, today, I need you to go after that one, and that one is Gina.
Wow.
And when he said that, I mean, I just burst into tears, and it was so much bigger than Bishop Cousins. It wasn't just him. It was, I felt so deeply the personal love of God, that God was really cared about me personally, intimately, and he was reaching down from heaven to rescue me. And I think that was a really pivotal moment in my relationship with Bishop Cousins, but even in my relationship with God.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And it sounds to me like, you know, Bishop Cousins was very open, as those of us, you know, anybody who really has had contact with him, we know that, yeah, he strives hard to be very open to the prompting of the Holy Spirit and to be a good yeah, in persona Christi Capitis, in the person of Christ the Head, as he's with us as our bishop. Yeah. Well, now I understand, Gina, that Bishop Cousins, he actually contacted you the morning that Rome announced his appointment to Crookston. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, yes. So 5:30 in the morning, I got a text message. I think it was October 18th, I think was the day. I got a text message 5:30 in the morning that said, call me when you get this. And I have never received a text message from him like that. And so yeah. I thought, what is going on? So I called him immediately, and he said, good morning, Gina. I'm the new bishop of the Diocese of Crookston. And I said, praise God. Congratulations. I'm so happy for you. And I'm glad I said that, because many things could have come out of my mouth knowing that he was going to be leaving the Archdiocese. And he said, I wanted you to hear my voice so that I could reassure you that I'm not abandoning you, and I will continue to walk with you on this journey. And wow. That is an example of the Good Shepherd that he is, because he didn't have to do that. You know, I could have learned about it like the rest or most of the rest of the world.
Right.
But hearing his voice just gave me so much peace and just the reassurance that that we're in this for the long haul, and he's in it for the long haul with me, and I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I'm grateful for your response, too. I mean, it is, you know, it's sad for all of us to see him go, but especially for you and for others who have had such a personal connection with him in his ministry that way, it's, yeah, it can feel, I mean, let's be honest about it, it can feel a little bit like, well, the Lord has given us this, but now he's taken him away from us. So,
yeah.
Any thoughts about what this means to you in terms of your friendship with Bishop Cousins?
Yes. So we've already talked about that. So we'll continue to meet monthly. How that takes place is to be determined. So either
sure.
by Zoom, FaceTime,
right.
you know, phone calls, and you know, it's a 4-hour drive from my place, from where I live, to Crookston. So it's
okay.
not something, it's doable. It's not something I can't do. So, you know, I can also drive up there and see him too.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Just curious. All right. So I want to ask you just a little bit more generally, and if you can help us learn from your experience with Bishop Cousins, your experience of healing and undergoing the healing process. Gina, are there any interactions that you've had with Bishop Cousins that you could maybe use as an example of how to care for those who come forward as survivors of sexual abuse?
Yes, absolutely. The biggest piece in my mind is empathy, is listening, is being willing to be in the messiness and the pain of abuse. Walking with a survivor of any type of trauma, and particularly, you know, clergy abuse is exquisitely painful because it affects a person's relationship with God. So there's that right. added layer of difficulty. But in general, walking with anyone who's been through a trauma is to be willing to be in the messiness and the pain. And so Bishop Cousins has walked that journey with me. He has seen me at my absolute worst, in my darkest, darkest moments, and peacefully accompanied me in that. And not never tried to silence my voice, never was never dismissive of my pain, very present in the midst of that. He also has really good boundaries, which I think is important for any survivor of abuse. That's super important, and I'm grateful for that. And he's educating himself, so he's learning. You know, as he's walked with me, he's also learning, and he's very humble in that, and I appreciate that. We're learning together how to navigate this, but I would say the biggest thing is to listen to survivors. Our voices are often silenced, and that, you know, I talk with many survivors of clergy abuse, and that's one of our biggest pain points is we feel that we're not heard by the church, and not just leadership in the church, but just in general, people within the church not wanting to hear what we have to say and hear about our experience. And that's painful.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I imagine so. And if I may, I mean, I somewhat, based on what you said, because like you said, clergy abuse has this added dimension of harming one's relationship with God and there needing to be healing there. And there may be a tendency among some people to, you know, to really urge or perhaps rush people, some survivors of clergy abuse back into the fold, you know, back into going to church regularly and things like that. But that's not always the best tack, is it?
No, and thank you for addressing that, because I want to be very clear. I fully understand why there are some Catholics who have been abused by clergy who will never step foot into a Catholic church until the day they die. Mm-hmm. And that makes sense to me, and that's okay.
Yeah.
The process of coming back to a life of faith is very slow. It is painfully slow, and no one wanted to rush it more than I did, because I just wanted to be back into relationship with Jesus and his church. And Bishop Cousins, one of the great gifts that he has is he's very patient, and so he was able to help navigate sort of help me navigate coming back into the spiritual life and really taking small baby steps. And then, you know, when I would struggle, I would feel like it was such a setback, or that I wasn't holy enough, or I wasn't faithful enough, or I wasn't experiencing enough healing. And he would always point out, here's where you've come from, and here's where you are, and we're still moving forward. Mm-hmm. And that's been really helpful. And I have to say, 90% of my healing has been in Eucharistic adoration. That was not at the pushing or the prompting of Bishop Cousins, although, of course, he's 100% in favor of that.
Yes, right.
That was something the Lord just drew me to himself, consistently was drawing me to himself. And it's the place where I felt the safest, and I still feel the safest, you know, compared to Mass or other sacraments, because there's priests there, right? At adoration, it's just me and Jesus. And that's a place where Bishop Cousins has taught me that's where you can go to relate your heart to Jesus. So sometimes I would say, you know, to Bishop Cousins, like asking those hard questions, like, why did God allow this? Or where is God in the midst of this?
Mm-hmm.
How can God even heal me of any of this? You know, all of those really hard and difficult questions. And Bishop Cousins at times would say, I don't know the answer, but Jesus knows. And when you go to adoration, that's the time to ask him those questions and then sit in the silence and wait for him to answer.
Wow.
And over the years, that's what's happened. I've been able to receive the Lord's voice, not audibly, but in my heart.
Yeah.
And that's where I've experienced the most healing.
That's amazing. Well, Gina, we have just a couple moments left, but I wanted to make sure and ask you this particular question. Any words that you'd like to share with any of our listeners who themselves may be survivors of sexual abuse, clergy sexual abuse?
First, I want to say that I am so, so deeply sorry for what you suffered, and it's not your fault. You're loved and you're worth fighting for. And there is a place for you in the church if that's something your heart desires. If you're suffering in silence, there are places where you can get help, and we want to help you. The Archdiocese has come a long way from when I first came forward back in 2007 to today, 2021. The Archdiocese has come a long way. There are a lot of resources available. I'm always happy and willing to talk to survivors. There's another group called Awake Milwaukee that's done a lot of great work for survivors. But the church is here for you. We want to be here for you. And if that hasn't been your experience where you've come forward and you felt the church rejected you and wasn't present to you, we want to make that happen.
Hmm. Wonderful. Well, Gina Bartle, so grateful for you being so transparent about all of these things and the way that Bishop Cousins has helped you in your healing process as we celebrate him and see him off to his new assignment in Crookston. But we are so grateful for you. Our prayers for you and all survivors of clergy sexual abuse will continue. Please pray for us too, if you would. And thank you so much for joining us here on Practicing Catholic.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
All right, and you too. Wow, what powerful stuff. Well, let's head into our first break. When we come back, keeping St. Joseph close to us, even after the year of St. Joseph, with Father Tom Margavicius. We'll be right back.
Hi, Bishop Cousin. This is Virginie Cogan from the Divine Mercy Catholic Church in Faribault. And I'm just calling to say congratulations for your new assignment. Don't forget us. We love your charism, and we wish you good luck. And don't forget to pray for us as we are praying for you. We love you, and don't forget the Divine Mercy. Okay. Good luck, and God bless you in your new assignment. We will miss you around, but we know you will always come back to see us. God bless you.